Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Thanks, Jim. I'm joined today by good friend and creative partner, Max Davis. Max has written or co-authored about 40 books. We co-wrote a book together entitled Take It Back, Reclaiming Biblical Manhood for the Sake of Marriage, Family, and Culture. You know, you don't have to look very far to see that men have taken a real beating in recent years. Culture has tried to redefine masculinity apart from their traditional roles and biblical truth. As a result, more men are stepping away from their families, unplugging in their careers, and even backing out of society after being told repeatedly that they're not enough. But that ends now. Max and I are going to spend the next 2 days unpacking how godly men need to stand up and stand together and that they can change the world. Let's go there now.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, Tim, and it's an honor working with you on this book, because it's such a needed topic today.
Max, as we get started, I think the thing that probably stunned me the most, I already believed it, but at the end of the day, it was that men really, really matter. They matter more than we know. And my goodness, Max, for such a time as this, we're praying earnestly. I know you join me in this prayer, that God would stir the hearts of men. It's happening all across the nation. I believe there's an uprising in the hearts of men to really chase after God's heart and to have influence in their families and their communities, their churches, and so much more. Max, it's exciting.
It is. And I think men are getting tired of being beat down and being pushed down because they're the difference makers, you know, and the enemy, and we have a very real enemy that influences culture. And he wants men to stay down because he knows that men are the difference makers. But you're talking about buffoons. I mean, all you have to do is watch TV. Just about every TV show where there's a father role model, he's painted as an idiot. But we know statistically that you take fathers out of the picture and everything crumbles.
You know what, Max? I think you're right. Society says that if you're a male, basically you're bad. You need to be reprogrammed because they're mixing together toxic behavior with masculinity and saying that men are bad, that they're toxic.
Right.
But that's not how God views this. And Max, I think you are right. Men are sick and tired of it. They're tired of being beat up. They're tired of being called, you use the word buffoons, seen as distant or lazy, cold, porn addicts, horrible dads, and more. Max, let's be honest, though. We can acknowledge this. A lot of men have given up territory. We've made a lot of mistakes in here. But I'll tell you what, I'm going back to, I think there is such a stirring. People are crying out. They want to make a difference. They want to be good dads. They want to be men of strength, men of character.
You know, and this book is really a book of hope, and it gives men permission to embrace how they've been created. Because right now, look, men have been beat up. They're on the mat. You know, the referee's standing over them, counting them out, and they need to know, hey, I can get back up. I can get in the fight. And that's what this book is all about. You know, we're in an all-out war. Make no mistake about it. It's a war. And the enemy, the cancel culture, wants men out. They don't want us to get back in. But society and our culture and our families, you know, they need us more than ever right now. And I mean, you have permission as a man.
Let me give some good news. According to the National Center on Fathering, 92% of Americans agree that men, dads, make a unique contribution to his son or daughter's life, actually claiming they have a profound influence on them, Max. I love this. While involved mothers can help stave off a teen's sexual activity, listen to this. A dad has 2 times the influence. Meg Meeker, not long ago, referred to a statistic. I'll share it here. She said that 76% of teen girls said that their dad influenced their decision on whether or not to be sexually active. Even more, fatherless daughters, Max, catch this, are 92% more likely to fail in their own marriages. Tell me, do dads matter? Do men matter? It's stunning.
You know, I think there was statistics we put in our book where if a man comes to the Lord and goes to church, it's like 90% that the rest of the family follows. Just amazing. But you take him out of the picture and that number drops way down.
Yeah, Max, that was actually a piece in Baptist Press that you and I had come across. Let me give you the full statistic here for a second because I love it. If a child comes to Christ, there's about a 3.5% chance that the family will follow. If a mother is the first person to become a Christian in the home, there's a 17% chance that everyone will follow. Listen to this one. If a father is the first one to come to Christ, there's a 93% chance that everyone in the family will follow. The article went on to say this. You want your church to grow? Bring in the men. Do men matter, Max? Do dads matter? 1,000%.
Yeah. You know, I think about Jesus. Paul said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He became a servant. Could you imagine if men would treat their wives like that? What an impact it would have on the family.
You know, Dr. Dobson wrote that book, Bringing Up Boys. At the end of the day, it really was about how our boys in American culture are in trouble. The mindset here is that dads teach and give this wonderful gift of empathy. In other words, kids learn primarily through a father how to see through another person's eye. Think about what dads do often. They do action love is what I call it. They like to get down and wrestle. They get down and do Dutch rubs, and they teach us how to manage or control our emotion. Dr. Dobson referred to it as how to manage testosterone. It's so true. Boys are crazy. We go through all kinds of wild stuff. The gift of a father in his son's life and, by the way, his daughter's life, it's so significant, Max.
You know, I played college football, but from the moment I was born, my dad put a football in my hand. And for 17 years, you know, that was our goal, to play football and for me to get a scholarship. Did you know my dad was at every football game I ever played? He was there, and he was at almost every practice. But, you know, before the games, we would warm up and we would be nervous and butterflies in our stomach. And my dad had this whistle, a very unique whistle. And I would hear my dad whistle and I knew that he was there. And it wasn't just a whistle that I'm there. It's a whistle that, you know, you're loved, your father's here, it's going to be okay. And those butterflies would leave and I would play. It would just be amazing. A peace would come over me because I knew my dad was in the stands. Now in high school, when there's 5,000 people in the stands, I could see him. But when I got to college and there were 60,000 people in the stands, guess what? I still heard that whistle because he had a unique whistle. And I would be there warming up, butterflies, and I would hear that whistle and I knew my dad was at the game. He was here and everything would be okay. And that's kind of the way his whole life was with me. I never doubted that he loved me and he would be there. And he loved my mom. And that was just such an influence on my life to this day.
Yeah. Max, I want to refer to another piece of work by a guy named Frank Pollock. Pollock said this, that divorce is devastating to all kids, but especially boys. What he found was about 80% of these boys were spending time primarily with women. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not a slam against women. He was just saying, in this particular case, these boys need male influence. And he said, unfortunately, in some of these cases, he's spending time with women who might hate the men in his life and scream something like, you're just like your father, or you're going to be just like your dad. And Max, you know what that does. Hmm. The significance of the importance of male influence. Max, we need to be there. Max, I want to go to Ephesians 6:4. I want to turn to the Bible just for a moment. One of Dr. Dobson's favorite passages, one of my favorite. It comes out of Paul's instruction where he says, fathers, don't provoke your kids to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think it's there for one reason. It's because a dad, he can provoke his kids. He can hurt his kids by what he says or doesn't say to them.
That's right.
By whether or not he shows up or doesn't show up, Max. Colossians 3:21 says it this way, be careful, Dad, or they will lose heart. Mm. Max, what does that look like in the life of a child?
Well, I tell you what it looks like. It looks like God, but a young child looks at his mom and dad, particularly his dad, as the leader and as the God figure in his life. So if he's looking at his dad, and his dad is not giving him what he needs, or if it's anger and bitterness and you don't matter as a son or as a daughter, then that's the way he's going to look at God. And so he's going to grow up with a warped vision of who God is by the way his dad acts. And I think that's one reason Paul brought that out, is he knew how important men and particularly fathers were in our culture. So whatever the father does, the kids are going to follow likely. I mean, that can be broken, but the pattern is there.
Research on whether men or dads matter, National Center for Fathering and others. Here's what they found. When a dad's not present, there's an increase in academic and social difficulties. There's an increase in teenage pregnancy, an increase in drug and alcohol use, an increase in crime, an increase in suicide, runaways, incarceration, mental health problems, poverty, and more. Max, when a dad is present and engaged with his son and her daughter, the positive side, higher academic performance and cognitive development, less anxiety, more empathetic, stronger in their male and female identity. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Less given to peer pressure and so much more. Do dads matter?
Absolutely.
Yes, Max.
And the culture wants to strip that away and feminize the man and tell us that we don't matter. And that's why there's such a frustration in men today and almost embarrassment. You know, if I stand up and be who I am, then I'm going to be canceled. That's kind of the fear today.
How many times have we heard this line? You really have profound influence on your kids. If you spit, he spits. You cuss, he cusses. You fight, he fights. You hate, he hates. You love, Mm-hmm. He loves. Mm-hmm. You pray, he prays.
I think about Ziklag and David, you know, how these men that were David's mighty warriors. I mean, these guys were men's men. These were the equivalent of today's Navy SEALs or NFL players. I mean, these were mighty warriors, and their home was Ziklag, but they left Ziklag for several days. And when they came back, they found that their whole city had been decimated, that the Amalekites had come in and raided the city, and worse than that, took captive their women and children. And the men, these mighty men, were so devastated that they wept. The Bible says they wept until they could weep no more. But here's the deal. They were the walls. The men were the walls. And when they left their assignment, when they left the city unprotected. And they knew that. So they were devastated. And that's kind of where men are today. A lot of men have, you know, left their assignment, and the enemy has come in and devastated our society.
Max, a lot of men listening say, you know what, I'm not sure that I make all that much difference. I'm just an ordinary man.
Well, Nehemiah was an ordinary man, and that's what a lot of people, you know, don't realize. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He had a secular job. He was very good at his job. He was very faithful at his job, and he actually gained the ear of the king because he was so faithful. But he was an ordinary man. But when he saw that his people, that his culture had been devastated because the wall had broken down, something rose up in him, and he decided to do something about it. And, you know, God honored that and used him to turn the culture around and to build that wall. It's the same way today. You know, God will take an ordinary man and do extraordinary things with him if he cries out to God and gives himself to God and let God give him, I call it a God vision, a God dream that he puts into his heart. Ordinary men, God uses ordinary men. That's primarily the men that God uses, is ordinary men.
Max, Henry David Thoreau once wrote these words, "The mass of men live but quiet lives of desperation."
I believe that.
Yeah, one of the things that really came alive for us was just how desperate men are. You know, that they're wondering about their life. Does their life matter? And will it matter?
Yeah, that's what a man wants to know. Do I matter? And can I make a difference? I want to be significant. That's what a man wants. A man wants significance. And it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be grand. You know, we all have a circle of influence that God gives us. And it may be your family. But that's how God won the world. One man at a time. One family at a time. You know, Jesus didn't go out and just, you know, sometimes he preached to the masses. But when he wanted to change the world, he went to individual men. And those individual men, you know, took it one person at a time. Jesus said, go out and make disciples. Well, how do you make a disciple? One person at a time. So you do matter as a man, even though it may seem insignificant. You know, you may not be a Billy Graham. So what? God wants to use you right where you're at. And he'll take that and he'll multiply it. Just like he did the loaves and fishes.
Max, if someone's listening right now and they are wrestling deep inside, and I know we've been touching on this, but they think they've blown it, that it's too late for them. It's too far gone. They've made the mistakes. Mm-hmm. They weren't there for their son or their daughter. They weren't there for their marriage. They've sort of walked away from the Lord, but they want to come back. Mm-hmm. They just want to know that they can be forgiven. What do you say to them?
Well, the lie of the enemy, number one, is that you can't come back. And that is absolute falsehood. I mean, you read the Bible. The Bible is full of redemption. It's all about redeeming what the enemy has done and what we have done. You think about the prodigal son. I mean, The prodigal son, I think that's the only time in the Bible where God ran toward him and embraced him. Not only does God want you to come back, he's waiting for you to come back. And I think about, get back to Ziklag again, when those men wept till they couldn't weep anymore because they had dropped the ball. Make no mistake about it. The men at Ziklag had dropped the ball. When they left the city unguarded. But guess what? There comes a time when the weeping is over. And what happened? David inquired of the Lord. And it says he encouraged himself in the Lord.
He did.
And he asked God, he said, God, what do we do here? And what did God say? He said, take it back and go recover all. So they set on a quest. And I mean, they ran those guys down. And they attacked them and they recovered everything. Their wives, their children, their sons, their daughters, you know, all the gold and all the everything that the enemy had stolen, these men recovered and brought it back. So God is all about redemption. And I don't care how much you've lost, he can rebuild you and make you not just the same, but better than ever before. That's what God does.
Sometimes, Max, you do have to stand up.
That's right.
Sometimes a boy needs to know that dad's going to show up and say, hey, listen, this is not okay. You're not going to treat my son like that, coach. This is wrong.
That's right.
We're all for authority and structure, but what you're doing here is wrong. And I stand with my son. And what that does is it gives heart and strength to him, Max. Max, what does that piece mean to you when you think about Nehemiah and his admonition to men?
He went to God and he sought the Lord and he said, what can I do? And God put that vision in him. It was a God vision. And then, you know, he took practical steps to see it come to fruition. That part of taking it back, part of getting back in the fight, is running to God and saying, God, I need you. What do you want me to do? And let him empower us. Let him give us a dream. Let him give us direction.
In their book, The Healing Path, Dan Allender and Trevor Longman years ago wrote about the word discontent. They believed that discontent in the heart of a person, Max, wasn't bad necessarily, that it actually could be the mother of invention, that discontent could be the seeds to a different future.
Yeah.
If there are men, if there are women listening who are wrestling, and inside they know at least it's not the way it's supposed to be, there's something about that frame of reference that says we've got to do something. And Max, I'm thinking this way, that heaven and earth literally are standing on tiptoes, awaiting men to step into this moment, to step back into their families, to step back into their marriages, to step back into their relationship with Christ. We're going to stand strong. We're going to shore up the flanks here, and let's do what's necessary. And Max, we need a new breed of men. And I'm not talking about an age. I'm talking about a remnant, who have not yet bowed the knee, who will stand strong and mighty in this moment.
Amen. And here's the warning. If a man tries to do it in his own strength, in his own power, that's where it becomes toxic. That's where the behavior becomes toxic.
Max, we're up against the clock, but this is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm excited to have you back tomorrow to continue our important conversation. Max Davis, my co-author on the book, Take It Back. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.